Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show, America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. I hope everybody had a great Resurrection Day, and we're looking forward to jumping back into the spring and the summer here at Brighteon TV. If you're watching us live, then you are watching us on Brighteon.tv. Please share that with everybody. We have a number of great live hosts that are on every day, and we just really need to build this platform out and just share that with as many people as you can. Please go to AmericaUnhingedRadio.com and download my free ebook there, An Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice. We've had like 1,500 downloads since I put this on, and it's doing very well. And I'm actually going to be speaking at an event here at the end of the month, the First Landing event, which is going to be about the appeal to heaven. So download that book, get yourself educated on what that means, and we'll be right back after this break.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at BrighteonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet a suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as this earth remains, and may this land, along with England, be evangelists to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here, and may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant, and in this most noble work that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. For centuries to come, America would prosper and grow under this new covenant.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
rising up. A renewed declaration of independence. We are the resistance.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. That commercial that you just watched, firstlanding1607.com. Please go there and visit that website. Look at the trailer. I'll be speaking there at the end of the month, and you can actually live stream that. So we're encouraging individuals and churches to live stream the event there. Got some pretty exciting news of some speakers that are going to show up there that we're going to probably be releasing, hopefully, here real soon. And then also, I do want to remind you that we do have the free Constitution class. This was about a $100,000 course that we put together with Ralph Reed and a lot of other scholars, Larry Schweikart, and myself, and others put together this Constitution class. It is totally free. So you can go to YouTube and go to America's Founding and find that website there. Educate yourself, educate your children, educate your church. Because all of this stuff has been taken out of the public schools because they don't want to know. They don't want you to know what the American Constitutional Republic looks like. That way it's a whole lot easier to, you know, to infiltrate and then deceive you with communism and make it look like it's all nice and shiny and it's the way to go. And it ends in nothing but bloodshed and tyranny when you look at history. So let me go ahead and start with the scripture verse. This is really more theological. This is a theological warning, but really it applies to everything. And we're going to read Acts 20. And I'm just going to read three verses, 29 to 31. But the Apostle Paul said this, "For know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30. "Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Verse 31. "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, this has to be a very, very important warning if he warned them every morning and every night for 3 years that they would be infiltrated, not only from within, but externally. So we have to understand, while we can definitely apply this to the church because the churches have been infiltrated with communism, they've infiltrated Hollywood, they've infiltrated our public schools, the media. I mean, there's not an institution that communism or the really what I just call the spirit of Antichrist, because it's what it is, that is infiltrated, right? And the church is supposed to be out there exposing this infiltration, but we have taken the monastery approach where we just want to stay within the four walls of our church and that's all dirty out there and not worry about it. Well, it's starting to come back to bite us, and I think people are starting to realize that now. So back with us today is Julie Beeling. She has a book called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and the Parallels in Today's America. Julie, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
I tell you what, I mean, this is something that we could talk about once a month on this show, is just all the parallels that you're bringing. Because again, when I wrote my first book in 2006, you know, I was making the warning, you know, and nobody really wanted to listen. So that, you know, because nobody wanted to help me or wanted to listen, that's why I find people like you that, you know, are just one person out there trying to make a difference. For the people that didn't see you before, just tell people how you really came to write this book.
Yeah. So in the late 90s, I was a missionary in Russia for about a year and a half. And then I came back to the States and got a dual master's in Russian language and literature and Russian and East European studies at Florida State. And then I wrote my master's thesis on underground Christian movements in the Soviet Union and what their survival tactics were and what the tactics of the Soviet state were to destroy them. And wrote that over a period of 2 years, over 20 years ago. And I stashed all my materials away in a couple boxes in the closet for a few years. And then in 2008, some things started happening that I started seeing, like, that looks just like something that happened in the Soviet Union when there was a very unpopular religious, fringe religious group in America that had a raid on their doors, like with, you know, tanks and things like that when they were not a violent group. And I started to look into it more deeply, and I saw all three of the major tactics that the Soviet state used against religion. I saw them all very, very much in place in America. The more closer I looked, the worse it got. So
that those parallels, so not only your experience, your education, your testimony, those parallels are right here in America. And again, that's what I wrote in my first book. I mean, me and Alan Keyes went down to Judge Moore's Ten Commandments rally down in 2003. And when I came back, I just decided to study on separation of church and state. I wasn't thinking politics. I wasn't thinking anything. I'm just thinking separation of church and state. And what I found out was the doctrine of separation of church and state is actually in the Soviet Union's constitution of 1936. I believe it's Article 124 that says the church shall be separate from the state. And I realized that what had happened in the early 60s, and I detail that in the book and who did it, and, you know, the Warren Court, the Supreme Court, how they were taken over by communists. That's what I kind of warn everybody, is they basically took our First Amendment and erased it and put the Soviet Union's First Amendment in there. And that's really began the downfall of this country.
That's terrible. Yeah, it really is. It's shocking for most Americans to consider this type of thing. But now we're at a point where it's so obvious that, you know, we have a chance of exposing it. But now it's so far gone that, you know, we're up against quite a lot to be able to stop this agenda from proceeding.
Yeah. And they have to, you know, I mean, Stalin actually said, you know, America is like a healthy body and her resistance is threefold, her spiritual life, her morality, and her patriotism. If we can undermine these three areas, America will fall from within. Well, this is almost, you know, a century ago that he said this. Well, that's what they did. They undermined our spiritual life because the Bible and prayer was in every school in America before the 1960s, you know, and then when the Bible left, now it became situation ethics, and then our morality fell, and you had the sexual revolution, and then the homosexuals started coming out of the closet. And really, the only thing that has saved us, I think, at this point is just the patriotism. We're starting to really see the rise of that since about 2016 with the, you know, America First and everything else. A lot more people have become, it seems like, a lot more patriotic since really 2001. But now it's not just hanging a flag. It's really churches starting to teach the Constitution, starting to teach history, starting to make documentaries. You talked about a documentary that I'd like to talk to you about even here on the air. What is your vision for a documentary? Is it just based on your book, or are you looking to kind of join hands with other people or other groups?
Well, it is going to be content based on my book. Again, the first part of my book goes through the three Soviet anti-religious tactics and how they implemented that in order to try to dismantle religion. And of course, as you know, when they could not eradicate Christianity, they then infiltrated it with KGB agents going into the clergy and the churches. And then the second part of the documentary showing all these tactics. Three tactics are anti-religious propaganda and pro-communist propaganda, broadly through the education and media, entertainment, the arts, everything. Number two is heavy, heavy persecution of the religious fringes. The Soviets' early tactic was heavy persecution of all Christians, and that was not as an effective tactic as they had hoped. But they found that by infiltrating the churches, particularly mainstream churches, and then putting heavy pressure on, heavy persecution on the fringe groups that were not popular, that they could really get their message across and have the most control possible. And then just showing those tactics in place in America, really heavily relying for my documentary on interviews. We're actually able to conduct an interview with Alex Newman so far to get the background of the infiltration of America's education. Fantastic interview. And that's my vision for the documentary. But, you know, if there's so much material to show, that it might be better suited to be a docuseries, even, because, you know, there's so much information that I'd like to bring to, you know, a broader audience.
Yeah. No, and that's a great idea too, really, a docuseries. I, you know, I haven't really thought about that as much because, you know, we always think documentaries, but yeah, I mean, Trevor Loudon, he's been warned, you know, I think I could definitely help you even get a lot of great people to be included in this documentary. I'm working with a award-winning documentary lady right now, Sandra Martin Hicks, who we're working on a documentary right now. So these types of documentaries can be very, very powerful when, like you said, when we pull all the expertise of all these different people that have known this and have seen this for, you know, 20 years. Yes. I think now's the time because now people are awake. Once COVID hit and we saw what happened in the schools and now CRT and transgenderism and everything else, it didn't seem like the church cared too much about homosexuality. But then when transgenderism and pedophilia and CRT came in, that was almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. So I think you have a massive audience, not only for your book, but for this documentary.
I certainly hope so. And, you know, again, we're at a very late stage, as you're well aware. But we just have to do our best to get this word out.
Yeah, we certainly do. So what kind of feedback have you had from people? I mean, is it being received well? Are people helping you kind of promote this and get you out? Or are you getting some speaking engagements? You know, how can we help you other than just doing this show with helping you get your message out?
Well, I really appreciate it. You know, I definitely, I have an 8-year-old son and now I'm homeschooling him again. I really feel like I have to do that. And so I don't have as much work time as I would like, but I'm really needing to connect with someone maybe who could help with fundraising for the documentary because that's not really my forte. And I am getting connected, but I'm always looking for more. So.
No, yeah, that's great. And I think we can kind of help you with, you know, along those lines. I work with, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Content 2023 Film Festival that's down in Texas every year. We have that every year and they have a lot of that. They have filmmakers and producers and even have funding. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad place for you to kind of look into. I know you're coming from Utah to Houston, it'd be to Houston, Texas, but I run the news and journalism aspect of it every year, but I was really surprised of how many filmmakers are out there, how many documentary makers are out there. I mean, we need to inundate every aspect of society. We're going to talk about that with our second guest. I mean, music, pop culture, everything. Yes. You know, absolutely. This whole monastery approach to stay within the four walls of the church and don't do anything else. I mean, we're under siege, and as a military veteran, this is what I tell people all the time. You know, siege mentality doesn't work. If you know, a base is there to go on the offensive. If all you do is develop that siege mentality, they're going to take everything else over until they got you surrounded, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah, we really need to be moving on all of this, get this information out.
Yeah, and again, it's the Christian church that needs to do that. One of the people that I really respect is the Kendricks brothers. I mean, you look what they did with their movies. I mean, their little tiny church did a movie for like $1,200. I mean, we waste so much money. I say this at my church all the time. It's not we don't have the money to do what we're supposed to do. We're misallocating that money. Right. We're not worried about changing the culture or changing people's minds or anything else. We just want to build bigger churches and get more salary and more people on staff, you know, and we really don't care about the Great Commission. We really don't care about going and discipling. And I mean, the Kendricks brothers, I mean, you just think a movie and what they've done to come almost even build a studio, you know, Kendricks brothers films and studio. I mean, it's amazing what we can do if we're willing to just get outside the four walls and do the Great Commission, because God will absolutely support it and bless it. And I think there is actually almost a starving of this among Christians. Look at this Jesus Revolution movie just came out. I mean, what, $50 million or something it made? I mean, people like you and me and Sandra Martin Hicks, we need to be putting these things together, and then we can influence pop culture and everything else.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. So you're I'm doing the Christian school / co-op thing here in my area too, because I know how much the public schools have been infiltrated. I tell them all the time. I said, you know, our job is conversion, and discipleship. You don't think the enemy's doing the same thing? I mean, they're doing the exact same thing, just the opposite model, right? They're trying to turn them into good homosexual, transgendered atheists and communists. And it's working because we don't think they're doing it. So that's what I love about your book is how you're exposing it historically, not just pointing the finger now going here, here, and here, but just like I do with my book, show you how they've done it in the past and how they're doing it again in the future.
Definitely. You know, and I live in an extremely conservative part of the country in southern Utah, Washington County. It votes about 75% Republican. And in my state, Utah, well, it used to be a conservative state. Utah has been a heavy target for subversion. It's very obvious to me. In the county that I'm in, it's heavy pressure from outside. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do the drag queen drag shows here where I live, where it's not a popular thing. They're pushing this agenda very heavily in this area that is very conservative. And I think they're finding their strategic areas to press, and we just have to push back.
Well, that's what it is right there. And that's what I tell people, even from a theological perspective, right? I mean, there's no such thing as a dark switch. You don't walk into a room and turn on the darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light. So when we take that monastery approach and we withdraw from every institution, whether it's film, media, pop culture, music, when we withdraw from all those, you know, darkness is the default condition. Right. Because of the fall of mankind, darkness is the default condition. So we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be taking that truth out. Darkness can't stay. If I walk into a dark room with a flashlight, darkness doesn't win. But, you know, the enemy's got us convinced that we should just stay in our little room and not bring the light out. And that really isn't how the founding fathers started this nation. And when I say founding father, I'm talking about the pilgrims and them, right? Because I mean, they gave a sermon, said we're going to be a shining city on a hill, we're going to be a light to all of the other worlds. Well, of course America becomes one of the biggest targets if that's your mission and that's what you want to do, is not only have a city on a hill here but shine that light to all the other nations. Of course we're going to be the number one targeted entity in the world.
Absolutely. Unfortunately.
That's good. Now, how far back did you just go, really kind of back to your experiences, or do you deal a lot with real, like what I just talked about here, the history and Americanism and the founding fathers and what they believed? Or is your book really kind of more of a testimony from just what you saw there and the parallels today?
Well, I mean, I really go into with my master's thesis. My focus was on the period of Soviet history from the end of World War II up until perestroika in the mid 80s. Because that was the most sophisticated set of tactics, anti-religious tactics that the Soviets had at their disposal. And I go into those three tactics and draw on my own content from my master's thesis. And then over two-thirds of the book is then showing these things happening in America. I have two chapters on the infiltration of America's education, focusing on K-12, because then you go into higher education and it's just a lot to bring in. I do have a couple of chapters on examples of two extremely unpopular fringe Christian movements in America that had the very heavy hand of government come after them. And in one case, a lot of people died. And then a chapter on the infiltration of the church in America. And really by mid-20th century, upwards of half of America's mainline Christian churches were infiltrated with literal communists on purpose.
Yeah. And Trevor Loudon actually has a documentary called Enemies Within the Church. So, I mean, that, you know, that comes into play, too. So, I don't think the people want to even think about how their churches have been infiltrated. So that's why I read the scripture at the beginning of the show. You were warned by Paul that your churches were going to be infiltrated 2000 years ago, you know. Yeah. And if they're going to infiltrate the church, you don't think they're going to infiltrate everything else? Of course they are. And, you know, that's what I dealt with in the book, how they infiltrated Hollywood. You had the Hollywood 10. People not familiar with that, Google Hollywood 10 communism, right? I mean, it was very clear. They had Senate hearings of how communists had infiltrated Hollywood and was pushing out this anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-American agenda in the movies. And it's worked because people don't study history. Right. They don't know their history. They don't know the Bible. I mean, we're in a mess. So people like you that are bringing this out, I appreciate, and I really want to give you a platform. So Julie, again, thanks for being on the show. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me at beneathsheepsclothing.com, and you can find my book there. Also, I have 3 home lessons I put together for parents to teach their kids about freedom and tyranny. And also, you can donate to my documentary. Also, there's a page on my website for that.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate everything that you're doing. It amazes me that when I kind of put my guests together, they're so disjointed, but I can tell by in the waiting room looking at my next guest shaking her head that we're gonna have a great part 2 to this show. So everybody else, come back after this break.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400-watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently. But it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol, or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quieter suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Hello.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Well, as I said before we signed off segment 1 here, you know, when I schedule these part 1 and part 2, many times, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. And it just seems so often that without me even knowing it, how much the first and second guests actually feed off of one another. It's such a beautiful thing, seeing God's providential hand on some of these interviews. So we talked about communism, socialism, and everything else in the first segment. I got a press release from the people I trust, a lady named Kate Clarity, who was actually on Canadian Idol, said, you need to interview this woman. She is just phenomenal. So I went to her website. You can go to kateclarity.com. I listened to her sing. Man, what a beautiful voice. But not just that. She gets it. She understands what's going on, and she understands how we need to be influencing everything, the arts, pop culture, the whole 9 yards. So, Clay, I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here.
Absolutely. So just tell us a little bit about your experience there with the Canadian singing and how that worked, and then how you made it from Canada down to LA.
Well, it's a very long story to get the whole story out. But when I was 16, I was on Canadian Idol, and it actually gave me a wonderful view into the entertainment world when I was very young. And I've always been grateful for that because it disenchanted me in a very important way. I saw what it was behind the curtain. And there's a lot that's fun about it, but it is just it's just normal people who end up in the spotlight. And it's really good to remember that, actually, even for our whole conversation. And I did a lot of other things in between. I have done music for many, many years, worked with a record label out of the UK for a few years, and eventually found my way down to LA, which is where I always wanted to come. So I, as crazy as the city is often in many ways, I love being here.
Yeah, and so you made it to LA. Was it just for that reason, kind of to chase your dream? I mean, I understand that that's where a lot of the industry is. Tell us about how you ended up there. How long you been there?
Yeah, I've been here almost 5 years now. And yeah, that was definitely the draw. From my time with the record label, I had a lot of contacts down here. So I have friends out here that I work in the studio with and work on a lot of projects with. And it is still this just really incredible place for creative people. And there is something about the city that still births that. Even in the midst of a lot of the sadness and the sorrow that we see, there is something really special still here that I keep finding. I find so many people of faith who are some of the best artists I've ever met. So it's a beautiful, beautiful combination. And then lots of the people I work with too aren't people of faith either, but just really decent people that I love working with.
Yeah, and if anyone who follows this show knows that, you know, I say that we've kind of taken this monastery approach, you know, right, to Christianity, that we withdraw to the four walls of the church. And when we do that, then all we have is pastors training pastors for the work of the ministry. We don't have the fivefold ministry training everybody else to be influential. And God has singers. He has songwriters. He has documentary. He has filmmakers. He has school teachers. He has the saints everywhere. And that's the thing that really jumped about your press release is how the rest of the body of Christ, who's not a pastor, can still use their voice to change culture.
Well, absolutely, they can. And I think that's always been our call. I do think some people have a beautiful vocation to be intercessors and to be more hidden. I think a lot of us really benefit from quiet time away from all the noise. But everybody who is especially out in the world and in a concrete way has a voice that we need. And I think so much of how we got here is because we stopped believing that. We stopped believing that these things mattered. And we're seeing with some level of tragedy that it matters profoundly, but I do think that there's still so much we can do, and everything is God's, not just this little corner of our hearts. The whole world is His, and everything beautiful that we have, every natural gift, is for Him and for other people. And when we can tap into that, I think we can see some really powerful things come about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you get to speak at a lot of events, or do you get to sing at a lot of events? I mean, I went to your website. I'll remind everybody again, kclarity.art is the name of it. And you on your website, you sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Man, that is 10 times better, I think, than the original version.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, COVID really changed things, as you can imagine. I came out, I was doing a lot more active public work at that time, and a lot of things did shift online at that time. But I had been really busy in the studio, and I have quite a few projects out already and coming now. So it's been a lot of, I call it the deep work side of things the last few years, and a lot of strategizing, and then also watching this shifting world. And the thing is, there's a lot I could do just as a singer and writer, but what has become more and more of interest to me has been rebuilding the infrastructure of the entertainment world so that many more people like me can thrive, because right now it's nearly impossible to do well in the entertainment world and not compromise. That is almost incomprehensible, and we have to fix that. And I know that there is so much talent. The talent is unreal, and I don't want anybody to think that there isn't enough talent. There's a lot of talent, and I have two messages, and one is that the people that are in the entertainment world who share our convictions to any degree or just want to see a bit more sanity would find their courage and their voice, but that the people also outside would be able to start to get together and collaborate and start making not just good things that don't support the agenda, but actually really excellent things that people can't ignore even if they don't share our worldview. And I think that is where we can compete, is on the plane of excellence.
Yeah. Now, let me just share this. My audience knows this, but you don't. I mean, I came out of a, you know, mid-80s big hair, sex, drugs, and rock and roll background. All my friends were in bands and, you know, I've followed music and albums. And, you know, a lot of these studios, you know, Columbia Records or whatever, we could go on and on. You know, they're just looking for talent that is not godly talent, and they're just pushing and promoting filth. And I think that's where there is just a need for, I mean, almost just a, like I said, you know, you and the people that you know. I mean, a lot of these studios only consist of a handful of people. I mean, it's not really hard to do. Granted, they got some good capital backing them up. But, yeah. I mean, is there anything out there or anything really anywhere where we have some of these more Christian labels that people like you could take the leadership on and start promoting the other people that you work with?
Well, I do have, maybe it's a bit of a hard message. I like what you were saying about being scrappy and using the resources we have and doing what we can do with what we have. But I do think that there are certain kinds of media that do require serious funding, and we have to face that.
Right.
You can do a lot when you're determined, but especially in any degree that involves film. So movies and film, TV, but also music videos and these kinds of things. If you want to compete with Taylor Swift and Rihanna and Ariana Grande, you need something that visually appeals to an audience that's used to that. You have to have that strength. The sound quality has to be there. The talent has to be there. And we can't compromise. And so that is one very real thing, is that if we want to make something that can compete, not just fill a niche. I think there's a role and a time for filling that niche, for a little bit of the preaching to the choir, because we are tired. You know, we need stuff too. We need to encourage ourselves. But I think if we really want to start taking back serious ground, there has to be funding behind it and a lot of sacrifice from a lot of people to make it happen. So, for example, it's why I'm not normally a pop singer, but I've stepped into that arena and I'm working on a full-length pop album that I hope can actually make some waves. I don't want it to just be for my little sector of people. I would love to take a tiny bit of what we call that market share from the billions of people following the Kardashians, because people are there, and the people are our countries and our cultures, and those people have souls and families and they matter. So I do think it's something we have to accept, that you do need capital behind some of these things to make them really shine like they need to make an impact.
Yeah. And I've been praying that for years. I'm just like, Lord, where's the Christian George Soros? Where's the people, you know, because you're right. I mean, even Hollywood and films, Christian films have just been cheesy with bad actors because it don't have the money. You know, and to do documentaries, to do movies, to do the stuff with the level of excellence and professionalism, just like you're talking about, that really is the message now, because I'm hearing that, you know, with the Christian Film Festival that I go to down every year and in Texas. I mean, that's what you're starting to see. You're starting to see a level of really excellence that was unparalleled maybe even 20 years ago in film. Now, if we can convey that over to music, man, God is raising up filmmakers and singers and documentary makers and movie makers. God told me to write a screenplay, so I'm in the process of doing that too, because we do have to take these kind of seven mountains back, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. And I think it is fundamentally a message of hope. There, people are ready. I call them, everyone's a racehorse penned up. You can't understand how long these artists have been praying and working and developing their craft and are just ready to share it. And I'm talking top, top world talent. Like the people I know, they could drop every name, you know, and they've been there and they have chosen through integrity to not succeed in the way that they could if they compromised. And they're ready to fight for the good things. And they have incredible scripts and incredible access to a network of wonderful actors and everything, the whole bit. It's available, it's out there, and we just need to start pulling ourselves together. I think one thing that we can also work on profoundly is what I call a culture of generosity, to stop feeling like we're competing with each other for resources. Mm-hmm. Remember that God is big, his bank account is huge, mm-hmm. and we are on the same team. And to whatever degree we can support each other, we should want to do that, because it's not about us. So even with my pop project, you know, I'm stepping into that because I think we need pop music And it's not about my ego. It's about trying to get something good out to the world. And so I think when any of us make any of those steps into the pop culture arena, we should all want to rally around and really make it sing. Not to have a metaphor there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, just to have lyrics that are clean and pure and not satanic and are not pushing people towards sex, drugs, or, you know, that type of stuff. That type of stuff is needed. And with the Jesus Revolution movie and, you know, with, you know, evangelism, everything else, people have to understand that people that we go out and evangelize and bring into the kingdom, they're in a transitional period. And I'll give you an example. When, you know, when I became a Christian at 27, you know, I wasn't jumping from Motley Crue and Def Leppard and AC/DC and, you know, to some gospel music. I mean, I went from there to like Striper. I went from there to, you know, like Christian rock. And then as I grew and as I matured, then I kind of graduated more towards worship music and things of that nature. So we do have to understand it's not just turn on the light, turn off the light, and people go from, you know, sinners to holy overnight. It's a process called sanctification. But to have music, you know, alternatives like you're proposing that people can listen to that's just not filling their mind with a bunch of wrong words is really what it's all about.
Yeah, and I think to develop a sensitivity for the spirit behind things, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. Because I absolutely believe there's a time and a place for doing very clearly religious content and doing that elegantly and excellently. Absolutely. But I think we need to develop a bit of an ability to see what's good, where God's in it, but in a more subtle way.
Because
it's like we don't have Christian food, right? We understand that in the realm of food or building a good house or building a good bridge or whatever else we see that integration happening with our faith. The same thing happens for an artist. I often call it, it's out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you are sincerely living out your faith or even just very deep convictions on the natural level, because I think we have a lot of allies of people that aren't people of faith, but are really the people of goodwill that we hear about in scripture, you know? And when you're living that deeply, it comes out in your work and it's unavoidable. And it's there, and it doesn't have to always be a praise religious song to be something that's worth supporting. And actually, in fact, I think almost the cry of our times is to have more and more just good stories that captivate our hearts and draw us into even just being decent human beings.
Yeah, now, I see that, be honest with you, a little bit more in country than I think maybe in necessarily pop, because there are a lot of faith-based people in country, and you hear a lot of that come out of their music. We certainly do need that more in pop, because again, when I came out of my lifestyle, I basically abandoned rock and roll and I just started listening to either Christian rock, or I went over to country and started listening to more kind of, you know, country rock. But that had good messages. There were Christian artists who were singing good things. And we definitely need to do the same thing with pop, because different music, you know, people like different music. I mean, there's Christian rappers, there's Christian pop artists, there's Christian country. And that's what we need. We need to be able to have all of that stuff. My four little boys, they sit around and listen to Christian music all the time because my wife's a worship leader. But we do need alternatives, that if I don't necessarily want to listen to a worship song, that it's still good music, you know, with talented people, but it's not, you know, giving them that message. Because I'm telling you right now, that message, that rock and roll message that I've sang, I basically chanted all my life, really, really affected my life. So, you know, out of your mouth, the words that come, if you're singing good, wholesome content, that edifies you, that builds you up, and it doesn't pollute society. So that's why I applaud everything that you're trying to work on there.
Yeah, and one thing I'd really love for all of us, anybody who's of faith, really, especially, to really tap into, again, just the power of excellence and story. We forget that it's one of the things the left has done phenomenally well. It's often, I kind of say, touche, because they did it so well. And if anything, they're becoming the moralizers now, right? But for such a long time, they just understood that if you tell really good stories that captivate the heart and build sympathy for the characters that you set up doing things, that you're going to win people over pretty dramatically. I mean, even you go back to something like Friends, I've heard it said that that's basically what normalized living together. Everybody watched this show, and it wasn't preaching about how you should abandon your Christian morals and go live in the city and sleep around with all your friend group. It wasn't preaching that directly. It was just telling a good story with really compelling, charming characters. And so I think we need to discover that when we can do that and then not compromise on the quality, we have to be willing to make a film, look at it and say, this is bad and I can't release it. Like, it has to be good. We don't have more time for lower quality stuff. We really have to step into the best of the best so that we can capture those hearts through story.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people, and again, the church, you know, other than just our praise and worship, we don't think of music outside the church. We just think of Sunday morning, 45 minutes. You know, most theologians believe that Lucifer was in charge of praise and worship in heaven. If you look at the fall of, you know, so, I mean, if that's his wheelhouse, what he's good at, you know, don't you think that he's going to try to use that now to, you know, turn the tide and turn the nation back? And again, I see it in my own life. I see it in society today. But again, we need to reclaim that. We need to take that back, like you said, with good music, good words, good artists. I just love what you're trying to do there.
Yeah, because he doesn't compromise. He gets the best. Let me tell you, like, that's real talent there. I think we do see more and more some people that just don't need to have talent because they've got a certain level of charisma and they can doctor the vocals. But a lot of people, and most people I find in entertainment that I've met, are phenomenally gifted people. Cream of the crop, incredible voices, and not just that, but smart. And so I think we have to keep in mind, obviously, with our faith, we have a different perspective. We believe God can use the little ones, right? We understand that imperfection is a component of our faith that we need to consider. But I think we can't forget that objective natural excellence is really important, and it's a gift. And we generally don't apply any kind of compromise to other areas of life. We don't want a compromised pilot or a compromised engineer building our bridges. We want the best. And that makes sense because genius benefits everybody. We want everybody functioning in their area of what they're best at. And so I think we should want that for the arts in the same way, because we see how powerful it is. We have to want the very best for the sake of souls, for the sake of God, for the sake of our culture.
Yeah, and one of the things I do when I do discipleship classes, one of the first things I do is I'll give a spiritual gifts test. And you just need to find out what your gift is. You know, people who can sing know that their gift is to sing. But, I mean, everybody needs to find their niche. Everybody needs to find their gift. And one of the things that I really been pushing out, and we talked about financing, and we talked about one of the things that I talk about, and I was working on this morning, is when David went into battle with his army and they had the spoils and they brought it back, the people were like, we're only going to divide this among the people who actually was out there fighting, not everybody that stayed back in camp. And God told him, no, you're going to divide these spoils equally because all of you are needed. And that's what we have to recognize, that everybody's got a place and a purpose.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, people that can't sing like me need to support people who can sing like you. People who can't write a documentary need to support Julie, who can write a documentary. Yeah. So we just need to find people out there who are doing good work and then be the Aaron and the Hur. Lift their arms up and help them in any way we can.
That is so beautiful, and it's so true. And I, to pair that, going even back to what I said about intercessors at the beginning, there's not a more important territory than being a genius of love and prayer and service. I don't for a second think that singing is more important than those things. And I love what you said about just finding everyone's place and collaborating, recognizing everybody's victory for the good thing is everybody's victory. Every different person's way of succeeding with something good is something that we should be celebrating. And I think it is a trap when we get stuck in ego or resentment or jealousy. These are all just distractions from trying to accomplish something beautiful and good that is so needed. And we don't have time to be petty. We don't have time to be petty, and we need to be for each other in every single way we can. And that doesn't mean you have to support something you hate or that doesn't really work well or you don't think is good. You know, use your discernment. But I think just a general inclination to generosity would get us so far.
Yeah, and you nailed it. It's everybody's victory. This is exactly what I said at church yesterday. I'm the one that's out there, you know, in the limelight, so to speak, with a show, being asked to speak at all these different events with the books and all this other stuff. I said, but I tell them, this is your victory. I couldn't do this without you. And that's what people need to understand. Find people like Julie, find people like Kay that are doing a good work and support them, because it'll be your victory also. So Kay, appreciate having you on. Let me know when your music is released and we'll help you promote that. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, you can go to kclarity.com. It does redirect to .art. Both of them work. That one gets you a bit quicker, and you should be able to find everything there. Also, I'm on Twitter. That's where I'm most active, and I also have a Substack. So if you want to check out anything there, I would love to hear from you.
Amen, sis. Well, let's stay in touch. I definitely look forward to hearing some of the stuff that you're producing, and we'll see what we can't do to get you some more support.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate all you do. All right, everybody else, we got a couple good guests tomorrow. Pastor Devin O'Deal is going to be one. Great show tomorrow. See you then.